and welcome to another episode of GT Radio. Today we're continuing our Wonder Woman of Gaming series. It's been an amazing series. We've had so many great women on the show. And today another amazing person, an amazing leader, Kara Fox LaRose. Welcome, Kara.
Thank you, Tino. Nice to be here with you.
So you guys have been busy. Tell us a little bit about how this all came about with this new venture, and give us a little background on what you're up to.
Sure. You know, I'm very fortunate to be working for such an amazing tribe and amazing facility. I'm currently in Southwest Washington working for the Cowlitz tribe, who just opened a property about 16 months ago. And, you know, the Cowlitz tribe had really faced a lot of struggles in their endeavor to federal recognition and then beyond. Once they were federally recognized, the project was held up a bit in a legal situation for over a decade. So we
wow.
opened in April of 2017, and it's just been amazing since we opened. And you know, the Cowlitz tribe actually partnered with the Mohegan tribe in the early 2000s, and so both tribes really have waited a long time for this project to come to fruition, and it's so exciting. Beautiful facility. We have a great team here, an amazing market. Portland's one of the fastest growing markets in the country right now, so the landscape of the market conditions right now are put us in a great position to move forward. We're actually breaking ground on an expansion in just about a month already. So
wow.
Lots of exciting
Amazing.
Things going on. It is. It
That's
is.
That's incredible. Really, really something. Tell us, I think, give us a little bit of an idea how things were for the tribe before the casino. I think that struggle and how they came here, and you know, because that's a great story.
Sure. So the Cowlitz tribe achieved federal recognition in the year 2000, and really endeavored to open a casino, and had procured some land just off Interstate 5 in Ridgefield, Washington. And the project was challenged for a number of reasons, and one of the things in question was really whether or not they belonged here. And so the tribe at one point in time had owned about 2 million acres within the state of Washington, and so they did purchase about 156 acres, which is what our property sits on today. And so it's, you know, just a small footprint of what they once owned. And you know, they were finally able to move forward with construction and open the facility in spring of 2017. And we're currently working on taking a look at the rest of the reservation so that we can you know, we're here to ensure the long-term viability and sustainability of the Cowlitz tribe, and really so that they can support their membership and focus on continuing expanding programs. You know, they were established prior to the casino. This is not their first business. They have a few healthcare facilities. They have a focus on they have housing and natural resources and all kinds
wow.
of they employ about 300 employees in the tribal government. So it's really impressive the progress that they've made, and a lot of their progress was really accomplished through grants. And so it's amazing to see how the tribe's grown and the impact that they've had on the community around them. And so this, you know, A-Lin-A, the casino that we've opened, which is the Cowlitz word for sing, so it's really about celebrating all of their successes and accomplishments over the years. And so this really provides another economic engine for them to be able to expand their programs for not only the tribe, but also support the community as well. So it's a great story, and it's such an amazing thing to see, you know, the tides turn for the tribe and really contribute to their success story.
Yeah, that's a great accomplishment. It really is. And, you know, the change that happens to the people and the infrastructure they can build is pretty pretty miraculous, you know, when you're dealing with this kind of venture. So congratulations. We're very happy for you. Let's go back. You had a non-traditional path. You're welcome. You had a non-traditional path in gaming. Tell us a little bit of the start of the journey. You know, you started working at a law firm, right?
I did. You know, I started working, I was working at a law firm. Some assumed I was a lawyer. The truth is I started working at a law firm in Boston at the age of 19. my story with that is, you know, I grew up in a small town with my parents and my sister in Massachusetts. I'm actually a Mohegan tribal member, and I knew that growing up, but much like the Cowlitz tribes, the Mohegan tribe had to disperse to survive when their land was taken over. So both tribes, very similar situation where the membership had to disperse, and so they kind of settled in different areas. So I grew up in Massachusetts and grew up with a lot of my mother's traditions. It was more of the Scandinavian culture. Knew I was a Mohegan tribal member, had a few family members that that did kind of follow tradition and grow up with the culture. And, you know, we had a modest upbringing. You know, my mother was able to be at home during our formative years, and my father worked to support the family. So I really did have a solid foundation in terms of support from my family and parents who were amazing role models in terms of being hardworking and compassionate people that encouraged me to dream big and go after what I wanted in life. And as I grew older, I learned that my parents struggled financially. It's something they really didn't expose us to. We felt spoiled, even though as I got older, I learned that what they were able to provide to us was not easy to come by. So I also knew that I was ambitious and wanted to break away from the small town and explore opportunity. So I, you know, basically saved as much money as I could, starting babysitting at 12 and getting my worker's permit at 14 and buying my first car before I was old enough to get my license, and essentially fast-tracked my career, you know, starting point, I guess I'll refer to it as, by attending a one-year business school in Boston to be a legal secretary because I knew my family couldn't afford college. And I didn't want to work at the local pizza place for the rest of my life. And it was hard to see beyond that, being in such a small town. So I did. I worked at two law firms in Boston for about 3 years before I entered the gaming industry. And that was by way of, you know, the family connection where my father encouraged me to go down to this project that the Mohegans were building in southeastern Connecticut. It was their flagship property, and he was the first foreman on the job, and he was very excited about it. And eventually, my immediate family, all of us, moved down there and started working for Mohegan Sun before they opened their doors. So that's what introduced me into the industry. Mm-hmm.
That's an amazing, and you know, the you started doing like weddings and party planning and all that, right? That's where you started.
So I started with, I was the assistant to the senior vice president of marketing, Mitchell Edis, mm-hmm. and he ultimately mm-hmm. stayed with the company up until about last year when he retired. He's still serving as a consultant with the Mohegan tribe, and amazing mm-hmm. individual. And you know, again, just like the law firm, the reason I left the law firm was it didn't really fit my personality. I was kind of bored sitting at a desk all day, and it kind of got to the same, you know, state at Mohegan. I started in that position as an opportunity to kind of move into the industry. You know, we didn't know a lot about the industry. It wasn't something that was covered in career fairs or even spoken about in Massachusetts. I mean, the closest casinos at the time were Atlantic City. I mean, you heard of Vegas, and it's just amazing how the industry has evolved since then. But so I ended up going to be Mitchell's assistant, and after a couple of years, I said, you know, I'm kind of bored, and, you know, he said, well, you're never at your desk anyway, and knew I was out and about socializing and interested on the casino floor and really just in awe about what we had created there. And so I was planning, you know, friends, parties, weddings, and things on the side.
That's great.
I took a cake decorating class, and, you know, I did that kind of stuff.
Wow.
So Mitchell asked if I they were evolving and asked if I was interested in becoming or starting the special event department, and that's really where my career kicked off with Mohegan
the
early 2000. Yeah, it was the turn of the century. I remember everyone was worried about the Y2K bug, and we had this big event where, you know, it was like we thought the slot floor was going to go down. And
I remember that. That was crazy. Nothing happened. It was a big letdown. It really was. So how was your experience as a woman in gaming at that time? I know it was a little different than maybe most of the women, you know, outside of that field were experiencing. Paint us a little bit of a picture.
You know, I have had the great fortune of working for some amazing people that approached our business with a great emphasis on building a culture that was welcoming, that offered mutual respect, cooperation, and building relationships. And that's actually the way of doing business for the Mohegan as well as the Cowlitz tribe. Actually, they've aligned because they share a lot of the same core values. And so, you know, I knew I was outnumbered sometimes being the only female at the table, but I never felt intimidated, and my voice was always heard. And I've had some amazing mentors that were very knowledgeable and experienced and humble and always offered support. So, you know, I certainly, it took me a long time to be able to understand what that meant to those women that perhaps didn't feel that level of equality. And I learned that over time. I learned my impact. You know, I'm certainly aware of it now. And I look back and I just appreciate that it just was not a topic of, I didn't give it a second thought. It wasn't a topic of discussion. And I always felt, you know, part of the team. So I feel fortunate in that regard.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing. Very different than a lot of other things that were going on at that time. Tell us a little bit, about some of the defining moments you remember most of the early years, you know, in gaming career.
Sure, there were so many. I will, you know, again, I consider myself so fortunate. You know, when you think about, definitely have always been a hard worker. You know, my work ethic I learned from my upbringing. And so I've always been a hard worker. I've always been interested. I've always been curious. I've never hesitated to ask questions. And, you know, I believe timing has a lot to do with my success as well in terms of at the time I entered the industry with the company that I was employed by, the Mohegan tribe and Mohegan Sun, and you know, such an amazing place. I mean, talk about the experience that I gained at the facility in Connecticut is so priceless, and I'm so grateful. And, you know, they opened in 1996. In October, I started in February of 96. I was the 33rd employee. It's actually funny. I'm Mitchell was the only other one that had a lower number than me until last year. So we laughed about that. When I think about, you know, 22 and a half years, and, you know, it just, you know, in 4 years, well, actually, it was probably about 6 years, they moved, you know, they expanded and became the second largest casino in the world, one of the highest grossing casinos in the country. And so you can imagine, you know, about 30, 40,000 people a day were coming through that place. They you know, really expanded to be three casinos, large convention center, you know, 1,100 and change hotel rooms, a 10,000-seat arena. I mean, you name it, lots of entertainment venues. We had some of the largest gamblers in the country coming to our place and, you know, four VIP lounges. And, I could go on. And it's spectacular facility. It is amazing.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's so beautiful. And at the time, you know, we were always everyone talked about Vegas, but if you go to Mohegan, Connecticut, it really can rival any property in Vegas, and it's such a timeless design. And so I'll tell you, there are lots of milestone moments. I was able to evolve along with the company, so I feel fortunate in terms of being able to do that and growing up in the business, you know, really with the property of that magnitude. It was really just a unique experience. So, and then I moved into their Mohegan ended up opening the first commercial casino in Pennsylvania. So I moved there. It's funny, I was one of seven VPs of marketing in Connecticut, and I became the only VP in Pennsylvania. So smaller scope, broader responsibility, a smaller property, broader scope and responsibility. And continue to evolve in my own career, and really we had I eventually became the assistant general manager. I oversaw the hotel and convention expansion in Pennsylvania, and really continue to build on my career and my experience. And after a few years of doing that, I threw my hat in the ring for the Cowlitz project, which I heard about when I was just, you know, young in the business in the early 2000s, and never imagined myself here in Washington in this project. So I've had a lot of milestone moments and have been very fortunate, and I've worked for great people, including the tribe that I work for now. And, you know, Mohegan has a mission to really help other tribes achieve the sustainable growth that they've achieved. And so the two tribes aligned and you know, here we are today with a facility that, you know, it's just amazing. There's certainly having a vision is one thing, and then watching your team bring that vision to life and having the intention of transplanting that type of a culture and way of doing business to a property 3,000 miles away. That's a greenfield property, and now we're 16 months in, and we've won over 40 awards, and I'm so proud of my team and the people I work for, and the tribe is so supportive and amazing, and it's been great.
Yeah, it's a great experience, and I mean, you're just to hear the passion in your voice talking about it. I'm sure that has flowed down to everybody that works with you, and I'm sure they're as passionate as you are about what you're doing. But it's a great accomplishment. Congratulations! It's
thank you. Thank
thing.
You. I appreciate
yeah.
that. We're very fortunate to have the experience, the team, and like I said, just, you know, very happy for the tribe. It's a good time.
Let's talk a little bit about. You know, I know you're a very unique person, and you've done so much in such a short period of time. And I'm sure there's a lot of people that aspire to accomplish a lot of things that you have, especially younger women, you know, who are coming up through the ranks. Talk a little bit about the qualities they need and you know, in the path they need to take if they want to get to, you know, to the top or in the leadership position that you are in, or another leadership position.
Sure. I would say find something you're passionate about if you can. You know, be strong, be bold. It helps if you believe in what you're doing. What has served me well is staying focused on what I can control or strive to achieve. I've, you know, over the course of time, I mean, being in a business where, you know, I have this heritage, and then all of a sudden, you know, it becomes this family business, right? And it really just became such a large business. And, you know, and it's hard to wrap your head around the fact that, you know, you're part of that business in terms of ownership, right? And so I've seen people take two different approaches with that idea. And, you know, I think that for me, you know, I've witnessed some bring emotion into the professional environment. And more often than not, that does not produce the results you may be looking for. You know, and it's not always the smartest person in the room that becomes the most successful. It's the one willing to work hard and be objective and listen to other perspectives and stay focused on the goals that you have or the company that you work for. You know, I think that's very important to not ever be entitled or lose sight of where you came from or ever feel like your voice is the only voice. I'm in the hospitality industry and we're in the gaming business. That's what we're talking about. So perhaps it doesn't apply for all businesses, but I think, you know, being humble and really being objective and you know, really considering others' opinions and feelings is so important, and certainly learned that over time. I always felt I took a humble approach, but, you know, I see more than ever, you know, how much that really does work, you know, and
yeah,
certainly.
I like what you said about it's not always the smartest person in the room that is going to be the most successful. There's a lot of other qualities that are important also. It's a combination of things, right?
Absolutely. It's all in your approach. It really is. It's all in your approach and how you treat others. It's so important. It really is.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about where we are now. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
So I guess I was just thinking about as we were talking, just reflecting on, you know, this way of doing business, right? This differentiator for what, you know, for the Mohegans and what's now been applied here. And it's really about the way we do business. Now, here we call it the spirit of Tlechan, and Tlechan is a Kalit's word for helping. And at Mohegan, it's spirit of Akwe, and that's welcoming. And, you know, it's welcome, mutual respect, cooperation, building relationships. And so just really applying that human approach to your business, really just, you know, it's about building relationships. It's the survival skills that the tribes used back in the day when they couldn't communicate to those that were coming in and taking over their lands or that they were trading with or conducting business. And it really just becomes so crystal clear now. It's such a basic, you know, idea, right? But it's so important.
Yeah, it's amazing. Amazing how much more business you can do with that kind of attitude. It's really, really cool. Mm-hmm. Where are we in gaming right now? What is the present climate?
So gaming industry, you know, is more pressure than ever with our really ever-changing technology, which can certainly be quite costly to keep up with. And depending on the environment you're in, I've been in a few different environments where that can certainly be, you know, put you in an advantageous situation or certainly cripple your business if it's not something you can afford to keep up with. And if you're in a competitive market and, you know, we're experiencing a new generation with different habits and more desire for stimulation, there's so much competition out there. Certainly here at ALNA, we're fortunate to be in a market that is thriving with known competition and a market that's not saturated. So I think that, you know, we're all challenged with what's the next thing? What's coming down the pike? You know, this sports betting, it's, you know, a game changer in some regards, depending on, you know, those facilities that are interested in that. And there's, you know, there's lots of new things being introduced And so, you know, certainly seeing changes in behavior, and even with, you know, some of our existing known customers that have been avid gamers and, you know, the baby boomers, and, you know, we've seen shift in wallet from those that prefer camaraderie and tables. I'm that customer. It's funny, you know, I like tables, you know, tables typically skew to males. But I think that depends on the environment. Yeah, I like the challenge. I like the camaraderie. I like the interactive nature of table games. But I've also noticed that even I'm shifting my wallet to slot machines because they're much more stimulating. And, you know, I used to glaze over with the old reel machines. And now they're, you know, you have all of these bonusing features and excitement built around it. So it's certainly been – it's interesting. It's interesting. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, those slot machines are so stimulating. It's a whole show in itself. Amazing.
Do you like to gamble?
You know, I gamble occasionally, but you know what people say in Vegas: if you don't gamble, you're a winner.
I certainly respect that.
You know, I'll go in with a budget. You know, stay away from the roulette machine. And try to play some blackjack, play some blackjack, and I'm okay. If I hit the slot machines, I think I'm in a little bit of trouble. So,
you know your limits. That's a good thing.
And that's important. That's important. Where are we going? You know what does the next decade take us?
Oh, I think there's a lot yet to be seen. You know, there's certainly lots of opportunity out there. I mean, I go back to it depends on what market you're in and what your goals are. I mean, I can speak for where I am today with the tribe that I work for. And, you know, it's really here we're focused on, A&A is one word. We don't have casino in our name, and really we created our brand that way with a reason, and that's really to really keep allow consumers to keep an open mind about who A&A is and what we're going to become. We see ourselves as an aspirational brand. We have a high focus on the amenities that surround the gaming environment. Not everybody likes to game. So we have some great restaurants here with outdoor dining. We have a high focus on our entertainment. We actually have Amy Schumer here tonight, so we're excited about that, playing in our ballroom. Yeah, it's very exciting. It's we're booking some arena size acts in our ballroom, which is really, again, it's an aspirational experience. It's, you know, we're really coming into the market with a lot of ambition, and for not only the current state of our business and who we are now, but we're developing this brand. We're in our infancy stage, and we are looking to appeal to many audiences. So I think it's important that we diversify and focus on more of an integrated resort approach. And, you know, the business has been strong and we've been successful so far, so we're keeping our eye on that and thinking about our future and making sure as we do build out any additions to the existing business, we're focusing on the initiatives for the Cowlitz tribe and what they may want to achieve as a tribal government, perhaps with their headquarters on their reservation and some other initiatives they're looking towards, and as well as continue to grow their business and to make sure that we're doing that in a smart way. And so there's lots to come here at A&A for the Cowlitz tribe, and we have so much opportunity, great access to the property and just about 25 miles from Portland, so great market to be in, and there's really a bright future ahead for us.
That's great. Yeah, amazing, amazing stuff. Just incredible story. Do you have any parting thoughts for our listeners before we go to questions?
Any remaining thoughts? You know, I think that from a business standpoint, you know, I think always, you know, I think about some of the things that are contributing themes to Mohegan's success, for the success so far of the Cowlitz tribe. And it's really, you know, both tribes are visionary. And, you know, I consider myself a visionary. I've always been a creative person, and so I thrive on that. And, you know, one thing I've always experienced and continue to hear is, you know, always remember that your team is the core of your business and your potential. You know, we have a high focus on our hiring strategy, and we did as well at Mohegan. We know we're in the hospitality industry, and a differentiator for us is our service standards and our operating philosophy. And we hire for personality. We train for skill. It's so important to hire people that are inherently have a great disposition and they're willing to serve. And so, you know, that really starts the core really starts with your team and how they're going to deliver your vision and that level of service. And really, which ultimately, you know, again, we talked about consumers really wanting the next best thing and being stimulated and wanting to be impressed. And with the, you know, the market saturation these days, that's an opportunity to differentiate your business and really focus on your customer and make people feel special and empower your team. You know, trust they'll bring your vision to life. And so I would say, you know, perhaps those are some final thoughts.
Great. That was fantastic. Thanks so much. Just, you know, trying to look into the future and being a visionary is very important in business. I think people don't do that enough. They always look at what they need to do that day or a week or a month or whatever. But, you know,
it's true, and it's so hard
the future,
to.
Yeah.
It's true. It's hard to pull yourself away. I mean, you know, we all know we're in a 24/7 operating environment here. So, and we're growing and at a fast pace. So you do have to, you know, make sure you have work-life balance. I'll also say that as hard as that is, you have to make sure your people aren't burning themselves out. So make sure you have that and make sure you make time to be strategic, because being strategic ultimately is going to ensure your sustainability as opposed to, you know, being short-sighted and sometimes it's difficult to, you know, to be patient.
Yep. Well, that was fantastic. Let's take some calls. We've got quite a few people called in here, and let's see what people have to say. Hello, good evening. This is Tino Magnetta. I have Kara on the phone, GT Radio. Do you have a question for her?
Hello. Can you hear me?
Hello. Yeah.
Hello.
This is Sonia Nevacoya calling in from Oklahoma.
Hey, Sonia. How are
Hello.
You?
Hello.
Hi, I'm doing fine. I was listening in, and I was very impressed and that a woman has achieved all these things and have reached some levels, and it's very inspiring to hear your story.
Thank you.
I think that, you know, for women in gaming, that, you know, there are challenges that we have to meet and hurdles that we have to jump over, and I'm sure that you ran into a few of those along the way. But, you know, you sound very positive and in your career. And I just wanted to know who has been your greatest mentor, and, you know, what did you learn from them?
Oh, wow. Who to choose? Well, you know, I would say my parents, certainly, you know, because ultimately whenever there you have that shadow of a doubt or that voice in the back of your mind, you know, that's going to cause you anxiety or, you know, perhaps challenge your self-confidence. You have to find a way to center yourself and get past that moment. And I've had plenty of those, especially moving into each role. I mean, each role is a new challenge and a new level, and certainly can be intimidating. And I found myself even interviewing for this position, and I really hadn't interviewed in like 20 years because I was working for the same company, and so they often saw my potential before I did, which was, you know, when I look back, I just am so grateful for that, because I had a lack of self-confidence and a lack of self-worth in a way. And I think that was my biggest challenge, because it's the voice inside my own head, being the Mohegan, and really, I guess, although I kind of felt like I never really worried about what others thought, I know that internally I did, because I always felt like, well, geez, I'm surrounded by all of these industry professionals, and you know, they have all this experience, and I'm a Mohegan, and they're not going to think I can do the job as good as they can because I got the job only because I was a Mohegan, right? And I learned over time that just wasn't true. That's not, you know, I certainly had an advantage, but I also had to work hard and almost harder because I was under that microscope. And so I would say probably my parents, because they always went back to what they always told me, which was, you know, my dad was quite funny. He was pretty witty, and he just had a way with words. He shot from the hip, and so I won't tell you sometimes the words he used, but he would always say, you know, don't worry about that person, and you're better than that, and, you know. And I was fortunate to work with him the first couple of years. He also, not only in the construction phase, he worked at Mohegan, and he was director of development, and then he actually gave up his role to pursue his own, at just yet another step in his, with his dreams and his goals. And that was, he formed his own company. He actually was a general contractor on the expansion of Mohegan, one of the contractors on the expansion. And then he opened a really cool store in the shops at Mohegan Sun called Nostalgia.
Wow.
And it was just, then he became director of arena operations, and he passed away in 2002. And they actually put an oil painting on the wall in the arena and named the concourse after him. And I've never really seen Mohegan do that for anybody. And he was just such a great guy. And so I always just kind of, I got to watch him move through the world also in the professional way, which you don't always get to work with your family. And so I think that gave me a lot of confidence as well. Yeah, very
That's
fortunate.
Great. It's not like you had very, very outstanding parents, honorable parents. And,
yeah.
You know, when you have that, you know, you're going to have success somewhere in your life. I'm a former tribal of the Comanche Nation, and I've been in gaming also for 14 years. And while I was on my tribal council, we went to Mohegan.
Oh, nice.
One of our tribal members is a boxer, a Comanche boy, and we had the opportunity to go and support him, and we met the chief, Lynn, and she was so nice and gracious. It was, and it's a beautiful casino there. But my other question is, you know, as a female in a top leadership position in gaming, is there a certain sense of responsibility that you take in presenting yourself as a role model and making sure others are given that same opportunity?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, I always make sure, you had mentioned positivity, and thank you for that earlier. I wake up every day and decide that, you know, it's a great day, and regardless of what, you know, anything that may have been challenging prior to that, that I would go in and always be objective and try to face that challenge in a new way, so that, you know, really as a leader, you know, I'm not a heavy-handed leader. I'm very inclusive and collaborative. And so I always I'm always trying to lead by example, whether that be males or females. And then certainly try to get out into the community and have served on many boards and committees for many different causes, and so I try to find different opportunities. It wasn't until I probably the last, you know, I would say 6 or 7 years where I started to find the opportunities to, as a female leader, to see how I could align with organizations that were looking for people to send a message or work with others to help them succeed as well, and really realized my impact there. So I try to continue to look for those opportunities as well.
Wow, that's great.
Fantastic.
I like to hear that.
Great question.
Great question.
Thank you so much, Sonia. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Oh, no problem. Thank you so much. And
you have a great
night. Good luck to you. And yes, have a great night too. Appreciate it.
Thank you. You too. Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Yeah, great questions. Let's go here and see what we got.
Hi.
Hello, this is Tino Magnetta. I have Kara on the line.
Hello.
How are you? Hello? Can you hear us? Kara, you're there, right?
I'm here, yes.
Okay. Hello, can you hear us? All right, let's try somebody else. Then. Hello, this is Tino Magnetta. I have Kara on the line. Do you have a question for her?
I do. Aloha. It's Michael.
Michael, how are you?
From Michael's New Casino. How's it going?
Good.
Well, Kara, you know, I know that, you know, you've had the opportunity now to be here for a little while, and you've kind of been able to change different environments through your career. What are some of the things when you walk in to a new environment, new culture, that you like to do as a leader to kind of, you know, understand that situation and kind of be as effective as you can?
That's a great question. So, you know, one thing, each project has been different for me. And when I came to Washington, a brand new environment, and what I learned about Washington, such an amazing, unique jurisdiction when it comes to gaming, where, you know, I learned quickly that all of the tribes up here in Washington work together and on a number of things. And, you know, they all kind of took us under their wing, and I learned, you know, that they were willing to extend a helping hand or, you know, really welcome us into the community, as opposed to kind of your traditional approach to your new competitor coming into your region. And so I think it's important that you certainly don't go in thinking that you know how to approach the business and in terms of new environments, and certainly understand the players, understand the regulatory environment, really, you know, the culture that I work for and have brought here to Washington, and the tribe that I work for is certainly focused on the community. So really, we spent a lot of time out in the community a year plus prior to opening, and having, you know, different sessions in different towns and the county to move in and really address the concerns they had about a brand new casino opening in a residential area, for instance, where, you know, anyone really can come in and operate a casino. And I think it's important to, for us, it was important to talk about our operating philosophy and how we would approach that and really be a good neighbor. And to be a good neighbor and to really help, you know, the surrounding community achieve economic growth and move along with us, along with the Cowlett success, was really about understanding their needs and their desires. So really teaming up with leaders within the community to establish initiatives that were mutually beneficial was important, and really start building those relationships.
That's great. I got another question, if you don't mind.
Sure.
I think, you know, every leader likes to leave an environment they were in, you know, positively. They wanted to make effective change of some type. What are some of the things that you kind of look back on and say, you know what, you know, maybe I focused on ensuring that I left this kind of message or this kind of impression or this kind of improvement in that environment that I try to bring. You know, so not only are you bringing culture now, but, you know, what is it that you want to see when you move on? What is it that you want to make sure that you leave?
So I want to leave knowing that we have established a business that the tribe can be proud of, that the community can be proud of, and really sets this, you know, this family, this tribe up for future success. And by doing, by accomplishing that, you really need to accomplish, focus on things that are strategic and focused on brand integrity and focusing on delivering on your promises and making sure that we are focused on responsible gaming and an environment with integrity, and we have a high focus on compliance and our guests and really making them feel special. And so I think that your reputation really is so critical. And the Cowlitz tribe has such a great reputation. And we try to continue that, continue that in the operating environment and making, if somebody has a question, pick up the phone. You know, if the neighbors have a concern about traffic or whatever, whatever the case may be, we opened, a facility that's bringing in, 8 to 12,000 people a day in a neighborhood. And so we had to get through that and, really listening to people and being available and leading by example is important to me.
I think that's great. Words well said. Yeah, I don't want to take all your time, but thank you. I appreciate the response.
Thank you,
thank
Michael.
Thank you. Appreciate
Have
the
a
call.
Good night. Great questions. Let's see what we got here. Okay. Hello, this is Tino Magnata, GT Radio. I have Kara on the phone. You have a question for her?
Hi, Tino. This is Heidi. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. How are you tonight?
Heidi.
I'm awesome. Thank you. Hi, Cara. How are you today?
Hello. I am holding the book that you sent me.
Oh, wow. Okay. Thank you. So, Cara, I've been listening intently, and I just love everything you said. And I had about 8 questions for you, but you've answered nearly all of them as you went along. So you've done a wonderful job. Thank you. So what I love about, first of all, I had to have a whole education process on how to say the name of your resort, because I think people want to say Ilani, but it's Ilani. So
yeah.
I see, from your property images, I can just see how different you are. And in terms of you saying you have a visionary brand ahead of you as well, is you being in the gaming and talking about being in the gaming hospitality industry, we really are, well, in my mind, you really are in the people industry, in the people business. So with that whole visionary aspect, how do you make your guests feel more special? You know, what is your differentiating factor that your people, your teams, how do they get your guests to buy into your brand of, this visionary, this futuristic brand? Or how do you do that? How do you make the guests feel more special than what any other casino may already be doing?
So great question. We do that through a lot of different things, a lot of initiatives. So we start, it starts with the way we do business, and kind of that's our signature, right? And that's the spirit of Talichan that I talked about. We start by training our team. We talk about, making our guests feel special and seeking out opportunities to making lasting impressions, and really about celebrating the moments, and regardless of what that moment is. If someone comes here on their day off, let's celebrate that with them. If they're here to celebrate a birthday or an anniversary, let's celebrate with them and find ways to go above and beyond, making them feel special, delivering that extra level of service, creating an environment and an atmosphere that is warm and welcoming and fun, And, you know, adding elements such as live entertainment on the weekends that's open to everyone is and is always free. And on occasion, we have a national act. So you can come and see a, you know, a favorite that you may have known in the past. And being able to attend that show with really no expectations from us. And then really, you know, blowing people away. We have core values as well, and one of those core values is blow away the guest. And so we focus on that as well. We have guest experience committees that's comprised of all of our management team, and we sit down with frontline team members, the senior team, and we have, you know, quarterly, you know, whether it be breakfast, lunch, or dinner with those, with our team members to really hear what our guests are saying from our frontline team, those that are the eyes and the ears of the guests. And we have lots of different other initiatives that we work through on the guest experience side as well as the team member relations side so that we're engaging our team on a regular basis. We actually currently just, you know, attended the Clark County Fair, which is the county that ALNA is a part of, and we sent our team members there and to celebrate with them, and we try to do something every month with our team to make them feel special. We have lots of programs in place, and so yeah, I would say it's about really creating that employee culture that gets people excited, so that then when they go out to be guest facing, that you know they're doing the same and extending that feeling.
Love it. Absolutely wonderful. Tina, may I ask one more question from Cara?
Sure. Absolutely.
So I'm also absolutely amazed that you got to this level. And, I mean, looking at your picture, I have to say you look about 17 already. you look very young to be at this level. And I just want to know, because I hear more and more, and I've been to a lot of travel gaming as meetings and conferences, and I hear more and more, you know, when women get asked the question, what is it that you should be doing as a woman in native tribal gaming in terms to be more memorable, be seen, you know, your personal brand to stand out. And if I hear one more time somebody saying, you got to learn to play golf, I think I'm going to be very nauseous. Okay, so in your mind, Cara, what do you feel as a woman in gaming one can do with your personal brand to be seen, to be more memorable, to be more visible?
Well, I can, you know, I guess speak to what I think works for me, and that's always, you know, staying positive and being curious and engaging in discussion and building relationships with people and not being, afraid to do that. You know, I think we all find ourselves entering a boardroom or a situation or a speaking engagement that we're not all that excited about. And it's how we approach that opportunity and how we work through that really. And so people aren't as intimidating as they appear to be, right? It's a matter of engaging in a discussion and then going from there. And, I've met a lot of great people and lots of different types of approaches to business and personality types. And you can always find common ground if you take that approach. So it's a good starting point.
Love it. Thank you much. You're very, very inspirational. Thank you. Thank you.
And thank you so much for the book. I'm looking forward to reading it.
I'm glad. Thank you. Have a good rest
of
your day.
Have a good night. Thank you.
You too.
Great stuff. All right. Great questions. Let's move on to the next one.
Hello.
This is Tino Magnetta from GT Radio. I have Tara on the phone. You have some questions for her?
Yeah, this is Randy Schwer from Wisconsin calling.
Hello, Randy.
Hi there. First off, I don't know if your business cards can be changed, but you might want to add on to the bottom of them Yoda, because you really are a wealth of knowledge, and I'm actually a bit impressed with your comfort and the things you've touched on as far as integrity and community, which to me are everything. Now, I have spent a lifetime in the entertainment industry, and when I look at your background, for example, you came from marketing and now into this major leadership role. Do you feel it's been beneficial to go through that process?
I do, yes. I definitely do. You know, if you were to ask me, I think I've probably said it recently, even as I joke with the team, but, you know, I always joke with my marketing person here, you know, marketing drives the revenue, so let's, you know, let's talk about the strategy.
There you go.
Marketing's, you know, I would never, again, I never imagined myself working for a casino, but I'll tell you that it was so exciting to go through the process in the marketing department, because, you know, marketing really, you know, I asked the team, I had a leadership meeting and I asked a question to the group, you know, how many people work in marketing? And I was surprised that I received the answer I was looking for by many people. Lots of hands went up, and really it's everybody. We all work for marketing, right? Because it's about our brand image. It's about, you know, bringing the experience to life, and really when, you know, creating the moments. So the entertainment, the special events, the promotions, the engagement, the various strategies behind the scenes with segmenting the database and really digging into that and watching customer behavior and patterns and really understanding reinvestment and incentives. And, you know, what we do in the hospitality industry is to create excuses for people to come, and that's really what marketing does, right? I mean, it's that's a very simple way to put it. We know that it's a whole lot more than that, but it's true. It was a great path for me to take. It worked for me. If it's my personality, it made me interested in the business, and it's exciting. So I definitely think it was a great path.
I find it interesting because when I do projects, for example, when I sit down and we start, I always write WHY on top of the paper. And by the end, I need to understand why and how this is going to work to make a difference and bring value to the consumer that's coming in.
Absolutely.
One other quick question, if I may. This kind of industry is not, I consider, a job. It winds up being a way of life.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, how do you balance your personal time with career?
It's funny. That's exactly what I say. This is a way of life. There's no question about it. But it's a great way of life for me. So it works for me. How do I balance? You know, I make sure that I do take time when I need it. I listen to my body. I listen to myself. I listen, you know, when I know I'm getting to a point where I need to take a break, right? So I can come forward with my best self for everyone else that's looking towards me for direction. It's so important that I take those moments. And so I do that through a number of ways. I mean, and we all have different, you know, hobbies and approaches to that. Some, you know, some like long vacations. I prefer a long weekend. You know, I find that if I take a long vacation, I get more stressed out, right? I'm away from my job, I'm away from my responsibilities, and I find that I also get bored easily. I'm kind of conditioned to having grown up with Mohegan, right, and that massive property, and moving into Pennsylvania with expansion, and then here, a brand new property. I'm, you know, for over 22 years, I'm conditioned to work at a pace that I find that I need to continue that pace, or I get bored easily. So, you know, I work out.
Yeah.
I do, you know, I go on hikes out in the Pacific Northwest. Beautiful, best weather ever. Never even realized there was life without humidity, being an East Coaster. And, you know, and just taking the time. You know, sometimes you just need to decompress and step away. And, you know, that's different for everyone.
It's awesome that you're able to share this. And, Tino, I just want to say I'm knocked out that you have an incredible guest like this and make this happen.
Oh, thank
because
you.
I find your knowledge to be incredible at this day and age. And I am not the sharpest tool in the shed, they may say, but if you work hard enough, you can get to the top of the hill. So it's all right. And I'm
That's
sure your
great.
Father's is proud.
Yes, with the right approach, and I hear you. I agree,
yep.
And I appreciate your questions.
Well, thanks and continue.
Great question. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank
have
you.
A good night. All right. Great question. I think we have enough time for one more.
Okay.
Here. Hello, this is GT Radio. You have a question for Kara. Hello.
Are you listening to me? Can you hear me?
Hello there.
Yes. Yes,
we can hear you now.
How are you?
Oh my gosh. I thought I was like, I don't even know how to ask a question because I didn't get the memo. Kara, I have to tell you, it's like I want to move to Washington like right now and come work for you. and oh, by the way, I would hire you as well. Which is, I think,
thank you.
It's the biggest
That's
compliment
great.
In my world that
That's
could ever
great.
Be.
That is a compliment. I appreciate that.
Oh, wow. Yeah, seriously. So here's my question, I suppose. By the way, my name is Saskia, and I'm relatively new to the gaming industry. However, I'm not young. I'm so not young. I've been on this side of the business for 5 years, and so I guess my question to you, because I do deal with casinos all over the country, corporate and native gaming both, and I find myself oftentimes really challenged in especially the native gaming casino world as an older woman who doesn't have tribal affiliations. It's like trying to bust through that proverbial, you know, get in the door, because there's, and it's a learning curve. I get it, you know, about learning about the tribe and all of that, and what the meaning is for that particular tribe, what they're looking to accomplish, and figure that out. But it's still sometimes I feel like I'm on the losing end of things because I am a non-tribal woman and I'm relatively new to gaming and I'm older to boot. So do you have any thoughts or advice for someone like me?
Sure. I mean, I can speak from my experience. It's Saskia.
Yes.
Am I
wow. Go you.
Great
yeah,
name. you know, I think, you know, I've worked for two tribes now at three different properties, and so I would say I have limited experience when it comes to understanding, you know, the culture for you know, other tribes, right? And I have some insight into some of the tribes up here in Washington. Like I said earlier, you know, a lot of the tribes here work together. So that gives us insight into operations and their operating philosophy and working
yeah.
together with them. And I would say, you know, perhaps it's not as prominent as you think in terms of the tribe's desire to only have Native Americans work for them. You know, the tribes that I work for, you know, they didn't, I guess, stay on a reservation. They had to disperse to survive. So,
right.
A lot of the membership doesn't live near the established businesses, and so you'd be surprised. Such a small percentage of the population actually are tribal members that work at any of the facilities I've worked at. So, I think there's lots of opportunity for many others. You know, 85% of the team members that started working here when we opened had never worked for a casino before, and I think that ultimately we weren't sure how that would work out. I think ultimately it was a great thing. You know, they learned a new industry and were trained and kind of brought through a process on how we wanted to build the business together. And so, you know, although there's certainly initiatives and a desire for the tribe here to continue to offer employment opportunities for their own tribe and other Native Americans, but also for the community around us. So I think there's lots of opportunity, and I always go back to find something that you like to do. You know, I try to make every new hire orientation that we have. It's every week. It's sometimes there are conflicts, but I go in, and my whole senior team does. We all go in and we speak to everyone, and really our approach is, now we can see each other face to face, but we talk about where we started in this industry and where we are today, because we're hoping to inspire everyone in the room to think about this may be a stepping stone for you, it may be a career, it may not, but we all, you know, coming to work, those that have to work have to come to work, right? So our approach is enjoy it while you're here and try to get the most out of it for yourself. And so really focus on, if what you're doing today isn't what you want to do a few years from now, look around you in your environment, start to pay attention to what others are doing. I always offered to help and move into other areas if people needed help. You know, I encourage people that work for me to do that. You know, let's not keep score. Let's help each other out. It takes a team. And so hopefully you'll find something that really you become passionate about. You know, I think that it's so interesting watching people be surprised at the career opportunities within a casino facility, because I still have people say to me, oh, you work for a casino, are you a dealer or a beverage server, right? Because there's such limited perspective. Those are the guest-facing positions, but there's so much... There's so much internally that so many different career paths you could take. And so I think it's important to really enjoy what you do. And I think that it's probably not as polarized as you think in terms of it being Native American dominant, even though you're working for a Native American tribe.
Well, just so you know, I really am passionate about what I do, but listening to you and the culture and the environment and the fact that you even go in as a senior leadership team and speak to your new hires is unbelievably, like, fabulous. It's truly the coolest thing ever, because it's like you give a voice to people right out of the box.
And absolutely.
That's amazing. That's amazing.
Oh, thank
to me.
You.
I really admire and respect that on a level I can't even begin to tell you. So, kudos.
Well, thank you, and appreciate your questions and calling in. Certainly wish you a lot of success.
Thank you.
Thank you, Saskia.
And we always
have
positions here, so come on up.
I was just
there
last week.
Oh, you were?
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, if you ever stop
Thank
by
you
here,
so much.
Just ask for me, and I'll come out and say hello.
I bet you will, too.
Absolutely.
There you go. Yeah. Fantastic. Thank you so much, Saskia.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Have
a great
night.
All
right. That was fantastic, Kara. What a great interview. People
Thank
are so
you so
excited
much for
to have
the
you
opportunity.
Yeah, absolutely. And will you come back on the show sometime?
Sure.
Again in the future? Great.
Yeah,
I would love to have you back on. I think you got a lot more to say, and you're really inspiring to so many people. And with that, thank you so much. You have a good night, and
thank
we'll talk
you.
To you soon.
I appreciate it. Okay, sounds good.
No problem. Take care. Bye bye.
You too.
Well, that was fantastic. She's pretty amazing, and it's her story is very unique, how she came up and was able to experience all those amazing things, and really, really, truly incredible. On August 23rd, we have Colleen Birch from the Cosmopolitan, and again, continuing our Wonder Women Wonder Women of Gaming series. She also has a pretty amazing story. She's an incredible person. And remember, everybody's got a story to tell. You just have to have time to listen to it. Have a good night, and I hope that the rest of your summer is fantastic. All right, ciao.